Sarah Bonici from Malta.
Hey.
Are you ready for your quick fire questions?
I'm ready.
Here we go. So, how do you like your eggs cooked?
Very well.
Still or sparkling water?
Still water.
Are you a beach or a city girl?
Ooh, both. Can't choose.
What is your favourite Maltese drink?
Kinny.
I love Kinny too.
Oh,
it's
love
such
it.
A good, like, how do you just, for people who don't know what Kinny is, how do you describe the flavour?
It's a weird one. It's actually the only soft drink I actually like because I love water. So I love Kinny. It's like orange zesty, but I don't like orange that much. So I don't know how to explain it. Like,
yeah, it's like orange with a bit of spice, but it's not
yeah,
spicy.
Yeah, spice, that's it. It's sort of, it has that
cinnamony.
Sort of, yeah, exactly.
It's a great, and I
it's
think it's made
nice
with,
cold drink.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really nice. I love it. Night in or night out?
Night out.
Favorite Britney Spears song of all time?
Oops, I did it again.
And most played song right now that is not Loop?
Ooh, I think Illusion by Dua Lipa.
Amazing. Sarah, we will find out all about your first rehearsal. You are listening to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sarah, you are fresh off stage. First yes. time doing Loop, the choreo, on the big Eurovision stage. What was it like when you touched down, stood on that stage for the first time?
Insane. I had a multitude of emotions, but I was very, very focused and very, very calm. And, you know, we've been preparing for this and working hard for this. So, you know, I was ready to do what I have been working on, basically.
Did you sleep well last night?
Not really. I mean, we had a late, we arrived a bit later in Malmo, so I didn't have much time to sleep. But, you know, now I will catch up on sleep in the coming days.
Do you dream about that choreography?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. It's like not just about the choreography. I dream a lot, and like even sometimes I have songs written in my own sleep and I wake up and I have an idea. It happens so many times. I like work when I sleep.
Wait, you songwrite when you sleep?
No, like not really, literally songwrite, but sometimes yeah, it happens. I like have an idea during my sleep and then I wake up and it's still there and I rush, like even sometimes in the middle of the night I rush and I write it down or whatever. Yeah,
so you have to put it down in your notes app like straight away.
Yeah,
into
exactly.
your phone, like
exactly.
before you forget. Yeah, because
exactly.
nobody can ever remember their dreams.
Yeah,
but apart from like the 5 seconds when you wake up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do, yeah, sometimes like wake up in the middle of the night and even before I sleep I usually think about, in this case, the performance recently, and think about what can work, what we can do differently, and all of that. So yeah, all the time on the go.
So how many times have you now done the Loop choreo?
Hard question. I have no idea. Many times for sure though.
Do we think 100, 500, 1,000?
Probably 1,000.
Which bit is your favourite bit? Is it the flip, or is there another part that we, when we watch, we know that you are loving?
I don't have a favourite part. I feel that the song and the choreo goes into many directions, and like there are so many parts to it that every single part has its moment, and that's how I like to approach it as well, performance-wise. I like to look at the song in sections and give even the energy that I give and the feeling that I give depends on that particular section. So it gives me a different feeling in each and every section. I do not have a favorite moment.
You are very fit and full of exercise to do that routine. So
yeah.
What do you do in Malta to keep yourself fit?
Rehearse, and so I dance and I sing and I run on the treadmill and sing to make sure that, you know, I have my heart rate up there and I'm still managing to hit all the notes and sing well.
Do you like any particular sports in your spare time? Do you do anything like any team games?
No, I love dancing. I'm really not a sporty person. I'm horrible at it, honestly. No, honestly, like during sports day and all of that when I was younger, I used to come last.
Me too.
I'm so bad. I enjoy going to the gym and running as like a warm up, not long distances. But not really, but dancing, obviously, yes.
Will you give a shout out to your four dancers, please? Oh. What are their names?
Hi, my four dancers. So we have Jamie, we have Matt, we have Victor, and we have Liam.
And they've been with you now for a while, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, Jamie, Matt, and Victor have been with me since the very beginning, the Malta performance. Liam has now joined the clan recently after we
the Bonici clan.
The Bonici clan, the Loop clan.
The Loop clan. And are they good? Are they good to hang out with? Like, are they giving you like smiles and laughs?
They are. They have to. The minute they get moody, I get moody too, and they know that. So I need their good vibes and energy. But we're like a great team. They're amazing. I love them, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't want to do this experience with anyone else. They're amazing.
Oh,
I love them.
That's so sweet. Yeah. Who is supporting you back home in Malta? Apart from the whole island, of course. But.
No, I mean, my sister for sure. She's a sweetheart. She's doing her exams, her A-levels, we call them in Malta. So literally now she has an exam on the performance day. So
does she?
Yeah. So, poor girl, she cannot come here. My dad and my mom and my boyfriend will be here, so she will be a bit alone. So I think she will be the number one supporter there in Malta.
Okay.
And obviously my family and all of that.
What's your sister's name? Let's give her a shout out.
Abigail.
Yeah. And what's she studying?
She's studying to become a lawyer, but she's also a great singer and dancer. So maybe we'll see her on Eurovision stage sometime.
The Bonici family is talented because we obviously know that you've previously did accountancy. She's training to be a lawyer. There's the singing and the dancing. I'm trying to work out, when you were growing up, was there both sides in your family then? Was there like the creative side and the professional side?
I come from a very musical family. So my mom can sing and play the guitar. In fact, I posted a video recently with my mom and sister singing. My dad plays the piano. My whole aunts and uncles, they all play an instrument, sing. So we come from a very musical family. So growing up, I was always singing and dancing. It was always a part of me. But my dad is also a very academic. So he always as well like pushed that for us.
Yeah.
And reality is that in Malta, many musicians and artists actually have a second job because we're quite small and the industry is not that big. It was like always wise to have a plan B. So yeah, growing up, I was always singing, always dancing, but I was also focusing on my academics and I became an accountant. But when I started working, I realized that although I loved accounting and I had a great team, really supportive at work.
You're good with numbers, right?
Yeah, have to. They were really supportive at work, like even with my singing career, was really flexible. But I realized, I mean, I've known that, but it's really became clear to me that what I'm really passionate about is music. And, you know, I needed to fulfill my dreams and make sure that I give priority and, you know, live my life in like focusing on music, because that is what I'm really, what makes my heart happy and what I'm really passionate about. So yeah, a few months before Eurovision, I decided to take a gap year. So I'm technically still on my break, but I think it will be a very long indefinite break now. I decided to stop practicing the profession, focus on my music, and luckily it turned out well. I won Eurovision, so I got all the reasons as to why this should not be a break but an indefinite stop.
I don't know anybody else who on their gap year went and represented their country at Eurovision.
Probably not.
And how much do you think you've evolved since the national final performance from there to right now today?
I mean, I think I've evolved. I really do believe that we learn throughout our lives, and like really, I mean, I'm working really hard, so I probably evolved. I don't quite see it because I'm with myself all the time. But I think it obviously evolved. I worked really hard and it took Camille, let's, you know, I spent so much time and energy on this, so I hope that I evolved. Well, we'll get to see that in the performance and judge then.
Opening semi-final two, what a moment.
Yeah, it is. Super exciting, honestly, like, insane. Apart from the rehearsals being very early and the wake-up call being about around 5:30 a.m. But it's incredible. It's great.
You're looking fresh. I spoke to Celia Capsis the other day.
Yeah.
And because obviously you two have done a little collab together.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Oh, she really is. But we came I said to her, like, who have you bonded with? And she said, oh, you know, I love Sarah from Malta and Colleen from Austria. She said Georgia as well and Tali from Luxembourg. Yeah, and I was like, look, there's an opportunity. The five of you should do some kind of like girl group pose on the turquoise carpet or like do something because you are the five bops, right?
That's actually true.
Can you imagine if like the power...
So iconic.
Yeah, together, like the pose. I can see it now. The Eurovision girl group. I need to make it happen.
Yeah,
like,
let's do this. Let's push everyone, all of us.
Just imagine the five of you standing there on the turquoise carpet.
Yeah, cool.
Giving it your best pose. You know, you all know how to do it.
Would love that. Would love that.
Sarah, go and get some sleep, some rest.
I need it.
And we will see you very soon. Thank you so much for chatting
to
us again.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Nemo, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hiya.
It didn't take that long, huh?
No, it didn't. But the important question is, did they find your luggage?
No. They did not. But I now made a police report.
Okay.
Maybe that helps, or at least I will get some money for the insurance to buy some new clothes.
I know. So the pink bucket hat is lost for good, you know.
Yeah,
so
but fine. You know, the good thing was, ever since I lost it, and I said it in your podcast and a few other places, and then people started gifting me pink bucket hats. So now I have like way more than I have before.
Yeah, amazing.
Really cute. Yeah, Bambi gave me one. Even.
So Bambi gave you a pink bucket hat as well. So now you have them, you can lose them for the end of time because you have loads.
Yeah.
You hitchhiked here to Malmö, didn't you,
from
your home?
Yeah.
So
not from Biel, but from Zurich.
Oh, from Zurich. Yeah. So how did it go?
It went really well. It was the first time I really hitchhiked, like long distance. I've done it a few times in Switzerland when I was like, there was no bus going or whatever. But it was, you know, it was really nice to experience the kindness of strangers and to really be able to trust strangers, because I think like oftentimes the world just kind of depicts everything as so scary and it's rooted in some truth, like in some cases, but just to feel that people are way more kind than we think they are, and you could trust strangers way more than you might think like you could. And I think that was really nice, and we met amazing people, had amazing conversations and a great time, and that's kind of like how I want to travel from now on. It's just so much fun.
So you did this for real? This wasn't for show.
No.
You did this for real?
It was 100% real. We didn't not once take a train or anything. Like, it worked out. Like, we were ready to take the train if we messed up
the emergency route.
Because like I wasn't gonna let anyone down, of course. Like, we needed to be here for the rehearsal, but it worked out really well. And it was we even had like one day in Frankfurt where we just got to chill and like see a few things. So it was really nice. And I did it because, you know, this whole experience is so crazy that it's coming up and that I'm in right now, and I felt like it was really important to have some time to think about other things and not like having Eurovision be the focus, because if I had stayed at home or whatever, I would have gotten nervous or kind of like too invested in everything. And this was a really nice way to kind of let go for a little bit.
So you'd still had meetings with the team while you were on the road, but it was just a nice warm up to kind of prepare you for the craziness of here.
It was a warm-up for that, yeah. We didn't actually have any meetings.
So you went off-grid.
Helena and I, we talked a lot because Helena actually edited all the footage, like my social media manager. She's amazing. and so, like, there were some problems with transfers, and, like, so that was a lot of things we had to think about. But other than that, like, the team was like really chill, and they were like, yeah, you take those 3 days, we'll start the work when you get to Malmö. And they kept their promise, so yeah. it was really nice. Yeah,
no one going, we've not heard from Nemo for like 3 days.
Yeah. I think some Where people started they? getting nervous a little bit, but the vlogs helped, you know, because the vlogs were like little updates, like, we're still alive, and yeah. like, still moving forward. Yeah, so they took it. They were a little bit nervous, but they tried to be chill about it.
Where was the trickiest journey?
Oh, definitely like getting into Denmark, because like a lot of people went north in Denmark, and kind of like making the right turn to Copenhagen and then Malmö. That was really difficult because no one was going there, and we were kind of standing at the wrong place for a long time. So yeah, I think the biggest challenge is like, where are you waiting for the people? Like, we noticed that like kind of holding out your thumb and a sign isn't really doing it so well as like going up to people. Like at gas stations, we just went to people like, hey, where are you going?
Yeah.
Do you want to take two strangers with you?
No, you go, hey, it's yeah. Nemo. I'm representing Switzerland at the Eurovision Song Contest. Actually, please give me a lift.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I didn't do that. But there were some Eurovision fans actually on the road. We went with a couple, and turns out that couple was like a huge Eurovision yeah. like fan. Like they were such a fan of like the last few years, and they even knew, they didn't know me, but they knew Windows 95, man. Which is really cool. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, this year was, yeah, it's finished. Yeah, we love the Finnish guy. Windows 95, man.
But they didn't know you, but they know you now, obviously.
Yeah, like yeah. we showed them the code. The live performance of the code in yes. the car. Yeah.
So talking about the live performance, I saw your first rehearsal and I had my heart in my mouth, because for anyone that's not seen it yet, there is, I use the word jeopardy. I think it looks scary in a good way. How would you describe what you do on stage?
That's a really hard question, because I do so many things.
Yes,
like,
you do.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it is quite the workout. Like, there's so much to focus on and so much happening. And it's already like a challenging song. But that's the fun of it. Like, it's definitely, I feel like it's a risky performance. The song is risky too, so I think it really fits. But it's like, I feel secure in the risk, you know what I mean? Like, it's, we've done it so many times, and it's still thrilling and still so real to do it every time. And I'd never get bored of it, because it's like, it's almost like the prop is like another participant, you know? Like, we're connecting together, and the prop is doing its job.
It's your dance partner.
Yeah, it kind of is.
This circle seesaw is your partner.
Yes, yeah.
There's one bit where you jump off it.
Yeah.
Or rather, you're launched off of it.
Yeah.
Like, and I couldn't believe it, because you're singing at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of my favorite parts. Yeah, jumping in the air. I always do the challenge, like, how high can I jump this time? Because you have to get the right moment, you know? Like, when the seesaw being pulled down, I have to kind of like, there's this perfect timing where I can jump extremely high.
Yeah.
And I want to get it every time. Like, that's really something cool to focus on.
This is risky. It's yeah. like you said, when you did the song, oh, it's a risky song, I love it. And now you thought, no, it doesn't stop there. I want to go risky with the way it looks.
Yeah, because well. How lame would it be to perform a risky song in the most unrisky way? You know, like just me standing there. I thought, like, it needs to be kind of like the feeling of it needs to be transported, of course, in like a secure way that I'm not scared or anything. Like, I feel like secure and I feel good about it, but it's like, it still takes a lot of concentration. And
I was going to say, it looks like it.
And every time I'm learning new things, because now with the light, it was completely different than where we rehearsed. And it was a different feeling to get the balance right, because you're getting blinded and you need your eyes to get the balance.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's so I will probably have to rehearse more also, like, on just getting the balance, like maybe eyes closed or something like that. So I just feel even more secure in any setting, basically. So we're definitely going to train with the prop also off stage. So I just like I'm on it every day, and I'm
you're on it. You're on the prop every day.
I don't think we can go every day, but that's how I would want it to be. Because now I've not been on it for 2 weeks, so it was the first time actually today that I've been on it again since the rehearsals. But it's really when you're on it multiple times after each other that it's kind of like a muscle you train, you know.
I think anyone listening now and they're like, what are they talking about? I can't picture this. Just wait until you see it and then come back and listen to this, and then it will all make sense, you know, because it is something to see. It's like I said, I had my heart in my mouth. Since I saw you in Madrid, you've built up a brilliant little crew of people. I've seen you with Bambi and with Sylvester. It feels like it's a really lovely vibe between you all.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Like, I feel like there's some sort of magic in the air this year, because I just feel so comfortable with everyone I've met so far. And it's not a competitive vibe at all. Like, for me, it's really, everyone's really kind. And I feel like you feel that, like, it could be very different from what I've heard. Like, obviously, like, it is a competition, but I feel like we're all in the same boat, and we're going through similar things. And I feel like that really bonds you together. And especially with the people you just named, I feel like it's just so effortless, and I feel so comfortable just being me around everyone. So I'm really grateful that it is that way, because I think that is a lot of Eurovision. Like, that is one of the best parts about it, is actually connecting with everyone and feeling like you're creating a family, and hopefully beyond this year, you know.
I'm so glad you've got a bus to catch. Great to catch up with you, and we'll see you lots more over the next 2 weeks.
Yes.